Thank you, men. We certainly do look forward to that glorious day when we see our Savior face to face. Colossians chapter 4. As many of you here tonight know, that as a church, we do support many missionaries. In fact, we support 22 missionaries. When I say 22, that's counting a couple as one, and then a single as one as well, but 22 different missionaries in that sense that we support. Most of them we support somewhere around $300 to $500 a month, a couple a little more than that, a couple a little less than that, but roughly 22 missionaries, somewhere between $300 and $500 a month. As we saw at our business meeting this past week, about 40% of our income goes to support missionaries. I don't say that to brag or to pat ourselves on the back. I just look at it, that's why we exist. That's why we're here, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. That's what God has commanded us to do. And so as we support our missionaries, and we do that with our finances, we don't pat ourselves on the back about that. We're just doing what God's commanded us to do. And that's why we exist. But sometimes I think we look at that and say, boy, aren't we great? We give 40% of our budget to missions. But I'd like to ask the question tonight, how much do you pray for our missionaries? Can you name our missionaries? Can you tell us what field our missionaries are serving in? Do we really know our missionaries? If we don't know them, if we can't even name them, if we don't know what field they're in, then I'll guarantee you, you're not praying for them. And that's really what we have before us this evening in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Paul, who for all intents and purposes is a missionary, certainly he was an apostle, but he was proclaiming the gospel. He was planting churches. That's what our missionaries do. And he says, beginning with verse 2, which we looked at last week, he said, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving, praying also for us. So he commands them to continue in prayer, as we looked at last week. That ought to be just part of their DNA, just constantly praying before the Lord. But he says, in your praying, pray also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul's prayer request to the church in Colossae concerning his missionary efforts. It's a great prayer request for all of our missionaries, and this is the prayer we ought to be praying for them, but not just our missionaries. It's a prayer we ought to be praying for ourselves and for one another. Notice I break it down in this way, four things. Prayer for an open door. Prayer to speak when the open door is opened, or when the door is opened. Prayer to speak clearly when that door is opened. And then finally, prayer to recognize the necessity to speak. So prayer for an open door, prayer to speak when the door opens, prayer to speak clearly when the door opens, and then prayer to recognize the necessity to speak. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you this evening that we can come together before the work week begins and just be reminded again of your love for us and your word and its truths, and to be challenged by it. And may indeed we be challenged by your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul says, praying also for us. It's not just praying for me, but praying for us. There are others with Paul. He is in prison, but he does have opportunity to have visitors, and so there are others in Rome with him as he writes this. In fact, back in verse 1 of Colossians, we see that Timothy is with him. But then as you start in verse 7 of chapter 4, there's quite a list of individuals that are with Paul and who are sending greetings back to Colossae. In verse 7, there's Tychicus, who's with Paul. In verse 9, there's Onesimus, who's with Paul. In verse 10, there's Aristarchus and Mark, and they're sending greetings back to the church in Colossae. And then in verse 11, there's Jesus, who is called Justice. And then in verse 12, there's Epaphras. In verse 14, there's Luke and Demas. All of these individuals are having contact with Paul and are with Paul in one way or another. He's sending some back to Colossae, as you read down through those verses. But when he says, praying also for us, he's including all of these individuals who are with him in his missionary journeys and have been, and now he's in prison in Rome, but he's asking that they pray for all of them, for us, he says. And his prayer request is again that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Now the word utterance here is actually the Greek word logos. It's the word for word, often used to refer to the Word of God. And I really believe that that's the thought here, and some translations translates it that way, that the prayer request is that God would open unto us a door for the Word of God, to proclaim that Word. That's what he's praying for, an open door for the Word of God. Again, Paul is in prison, and just what we know of Paul through his letters, I just imagine Paul sitting in prison, and I just imagine him being rather frustrated. You know, with this collarbone and broken bones and so forth. I know it's only been 4 weeks, but I'm starting to get really frustrated. You know, you just can't do what you want to do. Went out to the garage the other night to just try to do some tinkering, and I did some tinkering and then did some things that I probably shouldn't have done. And next thing I know, it's hurting. It's like, man, this is frustrating. I just can't do anything. And I just sense Paul sitting in prison frustrated because he doesn't have the open doors to proclaim the gospel like he does when he's free to travel. As he's free to travel, he's going around to the various cities and proclaiming the gospel and preaching. And now he's in prison, and those open doors are limited. And we know from the book of Philippians that he was preaching to the guards that were guarding him. In fact, history would suggest to us, we don't know this for sure, that when Paul was in prison, that there was actually a guard chained to him 24/7. And that there was a rotation of guards that would be chained to him. And we know from Philippians that throughout the whole Praetorian Guard that they had heard the gospel. Those guards that were chained to Paul heard the gospel, so there were those opportunities. I just imagine his word got around, and the guards got assigned to be chained to Paul. It was like, no, not again. But Paul was proclaiming the gospel, but he's asking the Colossians to pray that there'd be more opportunities, more open doors to proclaim that gospel. More chances to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And his prayer request is that he would have those open doors. And not just him, but the others with him as well. As we mentioned earlier, Paul's first request, his main concern, is that he would have the open door to do the very thing that put him in prison to begin with. That ought to be a lesson for us. No matter what maybe persecution may come our way, or what mocking may come our way, or what people may say and make fun of us, our first prayer request ought to be, Lord, give me more opportunities to do the very thing that people are mocking me for. And now again, we understand that we don't want to be doing it in a way that offends people. The truth and the gospel will offend. We can't change that, but we need to make sure we're not doing it in a way that offends, but we need to be praying for those open doors. I remember when we were in Alaska, one of our missionaries got in trouble with the law as it related to some of the hunting regulations. He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't realize that what he did was illegal, but he got caught, and he cooperated. In fact, when he flew in from his hunt, he had learned that he had done something wrong and that they had caught him and that they were working up a case. And he went right in and turned himself in. And you have to understand, Alaska, they take their hunting laws very, very seriously. And what he did was he shot a moose on the same day that he flew in to the hunt. And you can't do that in Alaska. You got to wait till the next day. You can't hunt and fly on the same day. He didn't realize that in that particular unit. He thought you could hunt and fly the same day. They took that very seriously. He ended up in jail for 10 days. As a missionary, that's not something you write home to your supporting churches about. And so he didn't tell his supporting churches about that. He served his time, but it was very interesting. The next prayer letter that he sent out, he simply was praising the Lord that he was able to lead an inmate to Christ. He didn't say that it was his cellmate. It was just an inmate. But he had the opportunity, an open door, as he was in jail, to lead someone to Christ. That's what Paul's praying for, that he'd have open doors to proclaim the gospel. But then notice what he says, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. To speak. That God would open up a door to speak. In other words, he says, pray that God would open the doors, but then pray that I'll see the open door. Remember last week we were talking about that verse 2. It says, pray and watch in the same with thanksgiving. He said one of the things we need to watch for when we pray is the door that God will open for us. And if we go through that open door, he'll answer the prayer. Sometimes we pray and we think God does not answer the prayer, but he really did. He opened the door. We just didn't watch and see the open door. We didn't go through the open door that he put there for us to answer that prayer. And so Paul, I think, is praying here, pray that God would open the door and pray that I'll see the door so that I'll be able to speak. Again, I think sometimes we don't see that open door when it comes to proclaiming the gospel because we don't really have a sense of urgency about it. We don't have a sense of real urgency to proclaim that gospel. We're not really looking for the open door. And you've heard me say this many times. I've quit praying, ultimately. I've kind of quit praying that God would open doors for me to proclaim the gospel. I pray now, Lord, just help me to see the open doors that you're putting before me all the time. Now, Paul, he's praying that there'd be open doors. He's in prison. He's praying that there'd be more opportunities. But we're not in prison. And I believe God's putting open doors before us all the time. We're just not seeing them. Why? Because we're not really looking. We don't sense an urgency to proclaim that gospel. Paul had an urgency. He recognized that as he said in Romans chapter 1, I am indebted both to the Jews and the Greeks, both to the wise and the unwise. He recognized that he was indebted. He had an obligation to proclaim the gospel to everyone he came into contact with and had that open door for. And we don't see the open door because we don't have that same urgency, that same sense of obligation, that same sense of indebtedness to proclaim the gospel. As he prays that he would be able to speak, that he would see that open door and be able to speak. As we read in Ephesians chapter 6, he uses the word bold. Remember, the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians were two letters that were written at the same time from prison and actually delivered at the same time by the same people. He sent them out and the one letter went to the Ephesians and the one letter went to the Colossians, but they were written at the same time and sent out at the same time. So there's a lot of parallels between those two epistles. And we see this parallel in Ephesians 6 when he says to the Ephesians the same thing, pray that I will have an open door. And in Ephesians 6, he adds the word that I'll speak boldly. And that's part of his request as well. He doesn't specifically say that here in Colossians, but the request to the Ephesians was that as I go through that open door, that I'd be bold to speak that gospel. Again, he's in prison for preaching the gospel. And so now he's asking for boldness to continue to do the very thing that put him in prison. So Paul prays for an open door He prays that when the door opens, he'll see it and boldly speak the gospel. Not only that he would boldly speak the gospel, but notice he says that I may make it manifest in verse 4. That I may make it manifest. The word manifest is simply to make known or to make it clear. I believe what Paul is praying for here is that the Lord would open up the door, that I would see the open door and would speak boldly, but also when I see the open door, I would speak clearly. I'd make it known. I'd speak in such a way that it's understandable. I'll have the wisdom to know how to present the gospel to the individual that I'm talking to. You know, everybody's different. And one person may have this interest, and one person may have this interest, and so I can proclaim the gospel to this person and tie it in with what they're interested in, and tie it in here with what this person's interested in. I may not approach everyone in the exact same way. I need to make it clear. I need to make it understandable. I need wisdom to know how to make it clear and understandable. He says, I need to make it manifest. I need to make it known. And his prayer request is that he would have clarity in thought and clarity in speech so that it would be understood. Not everyone may accept the gospel. Not everyone may accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But Paul says, I want to make sure that they at least understand the gospel. They may not accept it, but I want to make sure they understand it. I want to be clear in how I present it to them. I know that's a prayer request that I appreciate very much, one that I pray every week as I stand up and preach. I just pray, Lord, help me to be clear. Maybe everyone's not going to agree with me, but help me to be clear so that they'll at least understand what I'm saying. If I'm not understandable, then I'm wasting everybody's time. And that's a prayer request that we ought to be praying for our missionaries as well. That as they proclaim the gospel around the world, that they're clear in that presentation. As we said this morning with the way the Corinthians were practicing the gift of tongues, Paul said, the way you're doing it, nobody's understanding. Man doesn't understand what you're saying. There's no interpreter, so nobody's understanding, nobody's being edified. What's the point? It's useless. And Paul said, I don't want to be useless. I want to proclaim the gospel clearly so that it's understandable. And I think in part of that too, he's saying he wants to make it clear and understandable. It probably ties in with the thought that is expressed in 1 Peter chapter 3, that he'd be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in him. Be ready always to give an answer. I think Paul's praying for wisdom. That he'd know how to answer the questions and how to defend the faith with those who would attack it and the questions that people would have, that he'd be able to answer those questions for them, that he'd be clear, that he'd have wisdom to proclaim that gospel, make it understandable, to answer the questions people have, to defend the faith against those who would attack it. He's asking, I believe, for wisdom as well. And then finally, last part of verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Or maybe your translation says, as I should speak. The word that's used here is a word that just simply means it is necessary or something that I must do. He says that I may make it manifest as it is necessary for me to speak, as I must speak. Again, it comes back to Paul recognizing that this is a necessity. This is not an option. For any of us as believers, proclaiming the gospel is not an option. It is something we must do. It is something we should do. It is something that we ought to do. It is necessary for us to do. And that's the word that's used here, something that's necessary. It's necessary for me to speak, Paul says. And he says, I need to have that sense of urgency. I need to have that sense of compulsion. We won't turn to it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 16, Paul talks about necessity is laid upon me to preach the gospel. And the word necessity in that verse is the word compulsion. compulsion is laid upon me. And even the word laid upon me there in 1 Corinthians 9:16 is a word that means to press upon. It's a word that means to press. Paul is simply saying, preaching the gospel is something that is, I'm compelled to do. I am pressed upon to do it. Compulsion is pressed upon me to preach the gospel. He had that sense of urgency, that sense of obligation. I'm not saying that simply duty and obligation was what motivated Paul. That was part of the motivation. I believe he was doing it out of love for his Lord and his Savior. But certainly there was that sense of urgency and that sense of compulsion, that sense of necessity. This is something I just have to do. In fact, he goes on and says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. The word woe is a word of judgment. Paul recognized that if he did not preach the gospel, there was judgment involved. He'd be judged by that or according to that. And so he had that sense of urgency and that sense of compulsion, which I believe many times we lack. We lack that sense of compulsion, that sense of urgency, that sense of necessity, and even that sense of, you know what, I will be judged by how I proclaim the gospel or my lack thereof. In Acts chapter 18, verse 5, we read that Paul was so pressed and so constrained that he just had to testify that Jesus was the Messiah. Again, that there's a thought there of Acts chapter 18, verse 5, where Paul was just pressed upon in his spirit. He just had to tell others about Jesus. Reminds me of what we read in Jeremiah chapter 20. Remember Jeremiah? He was being persecuted, been thrown in the pit, and the children of Israel were not listening. The nation of Israel was not listening to him. And so finally Jeremiah said, all right, I'm just going to quit talking. And he's a prophet, and God was giving him the words to say, but he just said, I'm not going to say it anymore. And this isn't worth it. You know, he got discouraged. Nobody was listening anyway, so I'm just not going to speak anymore. And we read in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. Speaking of God. I'm not going to talk about God anymore. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not refrain. So I'm not going to speak anymore. I'm not going to speak the word of God. And he says that word was so burning in my heart. He said, I could not refrain. I had to speak. Have you ever sensed that same burning in your heart? You just had to speak the word of God. You just had to proclaim the gospel. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's asking for prayer, that there'd be an open door, that he would see the open door and go through it, and that he would speak boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that he would speak plainly so that it's understood. And that he would sense that urgency and that necessity. He just had to speak. That's a prayer request for our missionaries. That's a prayer request for each one of us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for this example of the Apostle Paul. May that indeed be our prayer request this evening for our missionaries, for ourselves, that you would open doors to proclaim your word, that we would see those open doors and boldly proclaim the gospel. As we go through those open doors, that we would clearly make it understandable, and that you would give us the wisdom to respond to their questions and their objections. And that we would have that sense of urgency and necessity, that your word would be like a burning fire within us, that we just have to speak. And as we go out into the world this week, may that truly be our request. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Thank you again, Father, for our hour together this evening. May we glorify you throughout this week as we proclaim your truth. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.